Are you looking to grow? Are you looking to be able to understand what real discipleship is? Or do you have a church or a body of believers that are looking for something to help you get past just the normal Bible study to actually be able to apply the Word of God? Well, we have a book for you. It's called Embracing the Truth. Go to tswrightspeaks.com. Message me and get your copy today. Again, tswrightspeaks.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and have a blessed day. Welcome, everyone, and we are so glad you could join us today. So, if you haven't already, just take a moment, hit that follow subscribe button, and give us a like. Now we are going to dive in to our message for this Sunday. And we truly believe that this message right here is not only going to be a reflection of what believers and how their lives should be shaped, it is also going to be the message that Jesus gave to John in Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. And what we're describing here is the church in Smyrna. And this particular church, and it's really body of believers, are really living out the gospel the way that Jesus wants. And just going to be honest with you, they're suffering for it. So really what this part of the passage is and the message to this church is a message of encouragement. For those of us who are living it out the way it's supposed to be, and we're being led in spirit to do so, guess what? This message is a message of encouragement to you, regardless if you're suffering or not, regardless if you're being persecuted for what you've done or what you're doing for Jesus. It's also a message to us in that if we do what Jesus wants and we are doing everything according to his will, we understand that we may suffer, but it'll be temporary and there will be a reward at the end. And this again is a message of encouragement to us when we're going through those temporary persecutions and temporary things that might make us question whether we're walking the right path or not. So let's get started here. First of all, I just want to pray over the entire crowd here, that everyone that is listening, if you're listening to this, I just pray over you that the eyes and the ears of your hearts will be open, and that the spirit inside you will receive this message, and that it will help you to understand who not only Jesus is, which that message will be given, but also that it will help us to be bold in our faith. I pray this, that the eyes and the ears of your heart will be fertile to the seeds of the gospel and God's truth to spread his word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here we go. Verse 8, chapter 2, the book of Revelation. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these are the words of the first and the last who died and returned to life. See, right there, we're getting a declaration of Jesus. It's his words. He's speaking to John. He's being quoted, and it's referring to Jesus as the first and the last, and he died and returned to life. He resurrected. Exactly. So now here we are. We have declared who Jesus is. We've declared that there's a message to an angel. Again, we've talked about angels being over these churches. So now we have this angel that has a letter being written to them, and it's by Jesus, but written through John, all right, here in the book of Revelation. So now we've declared Jesus, so let's move to verse 9. We know who he is, and we get another part of that declaration of not only who, but what he is. He is the first and the last, the one who died and returned to life. Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, I know your affliction and your poverty, though you are rich. And I am aware of the slander of those who falsely claim to be Jews, but are in fact a synagogue of Satan. Verse 10, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison to test you, and you will suffer tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful even unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Verse 11, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who overcomes will not be harmed by the second death. Wow. I mean, we only have four verses there, but there's a lot packed into there. So we've already talked about verse 8. We've given you that. That is a declaration of Jesus. It is totally referring to who he is, what he is. And so we can rest assured that these words are coming directly from Jesus Christ. Now, verse 9, I know your affliction and your poverty. That means Jesus recognizes what they're going through. They're being persecuted. There is affliction. They're being, you know, basically ostracized. They're being called out. They're being, you know, put in a position that is very difficult in the church of Smyrna. And it's because they're doing exactly what they're supposed to. And because of that, not only are they being persecuted, but, you know, there's a lot of bias against them as well. You know, discrimination would have easily been present in here in this for this church because, you know, they may not have been getting jobs that they needed to earn money that they needed to eat and to feed themselves and to have shelter and clothes the way that they should. So Jesus also recognizes not only their affliction, but their poverty. So obviously this type of stuff is going on, at least on some level here in the church in Smyrna. However, Jesus says, you are rich. You are rich. As a matter of fact, if we fast forward to Revelation chapter 3 and we go to verse 17, all right, chapter 3, verse 17, I want you to think about this. Here it is. 17, Revelation, you say, I am rich, have grown wealthy and need nothing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. See, what Jesus is doing here in chapter 2 and in chapter 3, he is defining what true wealth really is. True wealth is not having money. It is not your bank account. Okay? It is not your possessions and your assets. Because the ones that are here on earth actually belong to the Lord anyway. He owns them. So you really don't own them, even though you think you do. And guess what? You're only simply a temporary steward over them. So guess what? When you put that and makes you think you're rich, then you don't really have the definition of rich. What true riches are, true wealth, basically is the rewards that you have in Christ. All right? The eternal rewards, as we say. So these eternal rewards are exactly what we need to focus on in our lives. And Jesus is talking to the church in Laodicea in Revelation 3:17. So he is pointing out that they think they're rich, but they're actually poor. And here is just the opposite in chapter 2. They're poor, but they're actually rich because they are storing for themselves rewards in heaven because they are living out the gospel exactly the way Jesus wants. So, let's move on. And I am aware of the slander of those who falsely claim to be Jews, but are in fact a synagogue of Satan. Now, is a synagogue of Satan actually a real temple? Most likely not here. It's really probably a group of people, all right, that are in fact standing against the people in Smyrna, the believers, I should say. So this group of believers, this church in Smyrna, they're being persecuted, and Jesus is actually getting ready to warn them that it's going to get worse. A lot of things are getting ready to happen. They're not just going to have affliction and some persecution and poverty. Now, this thing's going to be taken a step further. He said, do not fear what you are about to suffer. So that means there's going to be more, and it's going to be more intense. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison to test you. So now they're just going to be outright thrown into prison. You know, if we want to relate this to a church age, the second church age, this is the age where Christians are going to undergo periods of persecution, all right, in the Roman Empire. And it'll cause them to flee and scatter, and the word of God will spread throughout the Roman Empire and even outside of it because of this. However, if we look at the second age of the church, these periods of persecution are intense. I mean, Christians are being killed, they're being thrown into prison, they're being maimed, some of it is pretty horrific, and I'm not going to describe it here, but I will tell you that it's pretty gruesome, all right? And it's definitely not something you would want to put on a TV screen, although I know some people like watching those type of movies, but I will tell you it is pretty gory, all right, what they'll do to some of these Christians. And during this period, as Christians are being persecuted, what's really interesting, though, is that the gospel is spreading and Christianity is starting to permeate and trickle not only through society in the Roman Empire, but it is also trickling outside. And churches and places have been established and more connections and somewhat of institutionalization. I said a little bit. We'll see that more in the 300s and 400s and 500s really come together in as the institutional church. However, this is kind of the root of it right here. And this is forcing Christians, all right, the form of institutionalization is really going to happen during this age. I don't want to get too deep into that. However, this persecution is what's going to cause some of it, because it's going to grow enough in numbers that it has to have a little bit of an institutionalization for people to hold together and live under one belief, all right, instead of having all these varying beliefs of the gospel, actually having a central belief of the basic foundations of Christianity. So this is going to be the start of that piece of it. All right. So, you know, you think of the first age of the church, it's just the beginning. It's the gospel spreading and it's, you know, it's pretty wild. People are just, you know, Paul and the disciples are just trying to get the word out, so to speak. So it's just a small movement, but it's going to grow and permeate throughout the Roman Empire during the second age of the church. And then in the third age, you know, the Christianity is going to have taken over the Roman Empire. That just kind of gives you a picture, but this persecution is a big reason why. Because one thing we know, oppression breeds rebellion. It just does. It's a natural instinct, and it makes people curious when we oppress. So when we're oppressed, it makes people curious what they're being oppressed for. And so what happens is the more oppression occurs, the more it spreads. You know, will there be periods where it kind of dies down because of the persecution? Yes. But then the persecution will lift and it'll keep spreading. And then even sometimes during the intense persecution, it spreads. So there's a mix and match over that time period of how it happens. And don't ever think of it as just like this linear, you know, it's almost like it's a little bit cyclical, but probably more like like it explodes and then there'll be a pullback and then it'll explode again even more and then it'll be a little bit of a pullback. So that's kind of the rhythm of it. Anyway, back to this. This persecution is a sign that these Christians are living it out the way they're supposed to. And it's a part of it, but they're living the gospel the way it is, and they are being persecuted because of this. You've got to realize what it's going against. And it's going against the beliefs, both during when this was written to this specific church and also that church age, because they're taking on the authority. You got to realize most of these places are worshiping pagan gods. All right. Let's face it. They are. And their entire system of living was revolving around these pagan gods, including economic, spiritual, just their daily interactions and the way that they lived out their lives were surrounded around these temples and that were enshrined to these foreign pagan gods You know, and I call them foreign because the gods, they feel like the gods are kind of out there and up in, you know, in the clouds and all of those type of things. And, you know, they kind of come down sometimes and not, you can study those beliefs. And in, you know, read Acts 17, when Paul is talking about the unknown God to the Athenians. But what's happening is Christianity is kind of taking on this belief system. It truly is. And so that's why some of this persecution is happening. You know, we also have, there were some Jews that did not like, that were really against Christianity to the point that they wanted it put down. All right. So there were some Jews that were Jewish Christians, and there were some that were completely against Christianity. So you have to understand that as well. So Christianity has all these angles coming against it because it's challenging. It's really challenging these people's ways of thinking. I mean, it's a paradigm shift in many ways. But during those transition periods, Christians are being persecuted because they are taking on the entire system of power and economics that surrounded all of this. So as I put that out there to you, make sure that you understand why that persecution was taking place in many cases. And in some cases, some of the Roman authorities, when something would go wrong, they'd blame the Christians. They'd say, well, it's because they're not worshiping the gods. So the gods are mad at us. And that's why they burned down the city. That's why the city caught on fire. That's why this famine happened, or, you know, this and that. So they would actually blame Christians for that because they weren't, quote, worshiping their gods. And then that would also cause persecutions. This type of stuff happened in these first two ages of the church. All right. So that went on a lot. And we've seen that type of stuff over the years and during many different ages of humanity. But these particular periods, it happens, and it happens a lot. So let's dive in here. I want to get back to verse 10. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison to test you. And you will suffer tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful even unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. I'm going to give you the crown of life. Jesus has a crown for these people that are going to suffer what they're going to suffer. And for them staying steadfast and enduring the persecution and never giving up their faith, staying faithful, even when they're put to death, they are going to get a crown directly from Jesus, and it is the crown of life. What a reward. What an amazing reward to receive, because that is an eternal reward. You know, we talked about eternal rewards a little earlier. Well, there's one right there. That's a specific one, the crown of life. And there are different crowns, obviously, that can be rewarded to those of us who are believers once we pass on, and we pass on to the next life and we're in heaven. However, this one is very specific. It is specifically named as a crown that we can receive. And what is it? What is the crown? It's specifically to this church right here. At least this is one group that can receive it. And it's because they are suffering, okay? They're suffering even to the point of death, and they never, ever let go of their faith. So how's that message important to us? That message, and this is a central message to me in all of this, is that regardless of what we're going through, our faith should be the central aspect of our entire lives. Our faith should be what binds us, okay? It should bind everything. So if I looked at this in my life as a big circle, okay? And, you know, there's all these circles. There's a small circle and the circle, then there's another circle that's a little bigger, and then another circle that's bigger, and then another circle's bigger. The central circle, the core, should be Jesus Christ and my faith in him. Our faith in Christ should be the central core in all of the things that come from Christ. All right. The foundational things of our faith, that should be the core of our life. And everything else should be surrounded around that. Matter of fact, these outer layers of our circles can shed. But that inner circle, that core, can never be taken away. It can never be shed. That is the part that should always remain. And for us, the message is that core always needs to stay strong, and we need to be continually coming to Christ and staying strong in our foundational beliefs in Him and who He is. I really always think the core of our foundation, the core of who we are in our faith, is really focusing on who Jesus is and who God is. You know, something, just kind of a side note here, and I've heard this said in many different ways, but one thing we need to understand about the Word of God is that life and the Word of God is not about us. It's a story that we're included in, but it's truly about glorifying God. All right. And so it's really, how do we glorify God? That's really should be the central question of our lives. How do we glorify Him? We glorify Him by putting our faith in Jesus and then taking that message to the world. That's it. I mean, it's that simple. There's really nothing else. I mean, you know, we kind of have this is the way I like to phrase it, a way to message it. Number one, do you know who God is? All right. It's the knowledge of Him. Okay. It truly is. It's just understanding the knowledge of Him, and it's pursuing God. So we're going to use some P words here. Pursue God. And then the next is we need to promote God. All right. Pronounce His name to the world. Promote God. So we have pursue, we have promote, and then the last P is we persevere with God. And obviously perseverance is a theme that we're going to see throughout these seven churches at the very end. Perseverance is going to be a part of this. So He's telling some of these people that they can receive the crown of life by remaining faithful even unto death. The other thing He says is they will not be harmed by the second death, by persevering, by staying strong in their faith, by holding on to what Jesus has given them. So these rewards are based on our faith. And remember this, Jesus, so many times, what did He really always call out? What did He recognize more than anything? He recognized people who showed faith. That's what He recognized. When somebody would show an extreme amount of faith, that's what He would always, always praise and recognize. And always and many times He would reward right there on the spot. A lot of times it was healings and miracles and things of that nature that we would see at that time. However, the real miracle is salvation. And so as our faith takes hold with Christ, we receive salvation. And then as we are sanctified by growing with Him and holding stronger to that foundation and persevering, we receive eternal rewards. And I think that becomes very clear in this message. And so the main thing is, are you pursuing God? Are you promoting Him? And are you persevering in Him? And I think that's a core message that you can take with you from this lesson. You know, most of the time sermons, you're not going to remember these, every word of this. I mean, you know, if I tell you a year from now, can you recollect everything that was said in that sermon? You'll be like, well, there's probably the Church of Smyrna and talked a little bit of persecution. And then there was that message of, hey, pursue God, promote God, and persevere with God. And that's probably all you probably will remember. All right. I'm not saying you couldn't recollect all of it by listening to it again over and over, but for the most part, we don't remember every sermon we've ever heard. But we have those key tidbits, nuggets, if you will, that we hold on to. And it's really about the central message of what our lives should look like. Here's how we know that foundation is strong, that we are willing to pursue Him all the time. We pursue Him in everything. That's what we do. We pursue God in everything. We promote God in our spaces that we live in and conduct business in and, you know, in whatever form or fashion. And then we persevere with Him regardless of what the circumstances are in our life. So here's what I would like to do. Just real quick, let's wrap this up in prayer, because I think that's so important that we do today as we let this message really hold in our hearts and really hold what is the central key core part that we need to take in. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to pray to you, Lord. Thank you for this message, and thank you for the word that you're imparting upon us. And Lord, just like the people in the church in Smyrna and their faithfulness to you, make us faithful to the end of our lives, to the very end, no matter what those circumstances are. And I pray that no matter what happens, no matter what our circumstances are, that we're always going to pursue you, that we are going to promote you, and we're going to persevere with you. And Lord, that we're going to hold fast to the rewards that you have for us in the next life. And even when we receive those crowns, we will throw them back at your feet, knowing that we are not worthy of them, but that you give them freely to us. And all that you've done for us, Lord, we thank you, and we hold fast to that, and we cling to the cross. Your shed blood, death, and resurrection cleanses us in all things, and it is also our save. It's also what saves us by putting our faith in that, Lord. And I pray over every person listening to this that they will hold fast to the faith that they have in you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I want to thank you today again for joining us, being a part of this community. And I also pray that this week is going to be a safe week. If you're here in the United States, listen to this. There's a massive winter weather storm that's moving through. I pray that everyone here will be safe, and that if you get the chance and you are kind of cooped up inside, that you will spend some time with the Lord. I pray that you will be able to have that alone time with him, to meditate on his word, to pray, and let him work inside you. I pray that for you. And if you're not in the United States, regardless of where you are, where you're located, listen to this. I pray over you as well. And I pray that the Lord is reaching you and reaching the people around you, and he can use you to do so. Now, as we always finish every time in every message that we ever give, now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin.